That magical moment when Paul McCartney woke up with yesterday fully formed in his head, it wasn't magic at all. What seemed like divine inspiration was actually the beginning of a grueling 20-month process of refinement. This pattern repeats across creative history. What appears to be sudden genius is actually the culmination of consumption, pattern recognition, and deliberate practice. The creative curve shatters our most cherished myths about creativity. By examining the science behind creative success, we discover that what we attribute to genius is actually a learnable skill accessible to almost anyone. The ancient Greeks believed artists entered a state of delirium when creating, establishing the enduring connection between genius and madness. By the Romantic period, the mad genius concept was firmly established, with Victorian scholars attempting to scientifically prove connections between genius and insanity. Modern research thoroughly debunks this inspiration theory. Austrian researchers found that beyond an IQ of 104, possessed by roughly 40% of the population, everyone has the same potential for generating high-quality creative ideas. Creative genius isn't about supernatural talent or madness. It's about following specific patterns that can be learned and mastered. Jonathan Hardesty's journey from novice to successful fine artist demonstrates how creative talent develops through deliberate practice. After quitting his unfulfilling job, he committed to daily drawing or painting despite minimal experience, documenting his 13-year transformation online. What separates average from elite performers isn't practice time, but quality. The 10,000-hour rule misrepresents Erickson's research by ignoring how those hours are used. Most people reach adequacy in a skill and plateau, like driving, which becomes automatic rather than advancing to expertise. Mastery develops through purposeful practice, working repeatedly on specific skills with clear goals and feedback, typically from a teacher. This process works through neuroplasticity, our brain's ability to form new neural connections. We create over 1,400 new brain cells daily that take 8 weeks to mature. These cells migrate to the most active brain areas, adapting to skills we're learning, but without challenges, they may die off. Have you ever noticed how certain songs become more enjoyable with repeated listening, then gradually lose their appeal? This pattern reflects what Gannett calls the creative curve, the relationship between familiarity and preference. Psychologist Robert Zients discovered the mere exposure effect. We tend to like things more as we're exposed to them. However, enjoyment increases only up to a point. Students liked songs more from the second to eighth listen, then their enjoyment declined until they eventually liked the songs less than initially. This happens because our brains seek both familiarity and novelty. Neuroscientist Emrod Duzel explains that dopamine creates a novelty bonus, motivating exploration. When encountering something new, both approach and avoidance reflexes activate. Initially, avoidance dominates, making truly novel ideas appeal only to fringe audiences. As we learn the new thing is harmless, the novelty bonus outweighs avoidance, creating the sweet spot of the creative curve. Eventually, novelty fades, interest wanes, and ideas reach the point of cliché. Successful creators balance production with field-relevant consumption. Ted Sarandos, Netflix's chief content officer, still watches 3-4 hours of film and TV daily. Rising from video store clerk to executive, he called his early experience film school and an MBA course wrapped in one, building a mental library for evaluating creative pitches. This pattern appears across creative fields. Whether painters visiting exhibits, chefs exploring restaurants, or songwriters listening to music, successful creators dedicate roughly 20% of their waking hours to consuming material in their domain. This 20% principle develops intuitive understanding of the creative curve. Such consumption provides raw ingredients for insights and helps creators understand what will feel familiar to audiences. However, consumption alone isn't sufficient. The creative curve requires recognizing familiarity while adding the optimal amount of novelty. Beverly Jenkins identified a gap in romance literature. No African-American historical romances existed. Drawing from extensive reading, she wrote Night Song, featuring a black cavalry soldier falling for a rural school teacher. After numerous rejections, Avon Books published her work, launching the historical black romance genre. Jenkins created something familiar yet different, hitting the sweet spot on the creative curve. Creative success comes from following patterns with the right level of novelty. Kenya Barris, creator of Blackish, explained how television's three-act structure, dictated by commercial breaks, actually helps organize storytelling. Creators across disciplines embrace such constraints as essential tools. Benjamin Franklin developed a systematic approach to learning from masters. He would outline articles from The Spectator, rewrite them using the same structure but his own words, then compare his version to the original. Through this deliberate imitation, Franklin's writing steadily improved, sometimes surpassing the originals. Despite our cultural mythology of the lone genius, creativity is fundamentally a team sport. Creative communities comprise four distinct roles: master teachers, conflicting collaborators, modern muses, and prominent promoters. Max Martin, ranking third for most number one singles ever after Lennon and McCartney, exemplifies master teachers. His influence extends beyond his own hits. Between 2014 to 2016, nearly one-third of Billboard number one singles were written by Martin or his proteges. Songwriting duo Benj Pasek and Justin Paul demonstrate the power of conflicting collaborators. Pasek's exuberant, idea-generating nature, combined with Paul's methodical approach, creates a dynamic that elevates their work beyond individual capability. The ideal collaborator balances your weaknesses and challenges your thinking. NYU researchers studying 2,137 Hollywood films found the ideal creative position is neither establishment insider nor complete outsider, but somewhere in between. Those positioned between establishment and fringe benefit from both social legitimacy and access to novel ideas without conformity pressures. At Ben & Jerry's Vermont headquarters, creating new ice cream flavors follows a methodical 18 to 24-month process through conceptualization, reduction, curation, and feedback. Their flavor gurus conduct trend treks to different cities while monitoring media and customer suggestions for emerging patterns. Ice cream creation thrives within constraints. Chemistry demands balance. Too much protein creates chalkiness, excessive sugar prevents proper freezing. The reduction phase narrows 200 flavor possibilities to about 15 worth testing, with Ben & Jerry's surveying 700,000 subscribers to rate flavors on purchase likelihood and uniqueness. J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter exemplifies all four creative curve laws. Despite the narrative of sudden inspiration during a delayed train ride, her success came from following creative principles. Her childhood reading provided raw ingredients for creativity, which she combined by taking the traditional orphan narrative and adding her unique twist. Rowling spent 5 years methodically developing her books, creating 15 variations of the first chapter and detailed character charts. Creative success is learnable but demanding. The creative curve laws provide a blueprint. Consume deeply in your field, learn effective patterns, build supportive communities, and iterate relentlessly. Creativity isn't a mysterious gift. It's a skill developed through deliberate practice and strategic thinking, positioning yourself at the intersection of familiarity and novelty where great ideas flourish.